Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
What will it cost heaven if I am lost? That's quite a strange question, isn't it? And someone says, you mean to say that it will cost heaven something if I'm lost? Surely heaven can do without me. If I want to lose my soul eternally, that's my own business. It won't cost anybody else anything. Yet strange as it may seem, my friend, it will cost others something if you are lost. Did you ever stop to think that you do not have the right to be lost as far as your obligations to others is concerned? Fathers, can you honestly say, I have the right to lose my soul if I want to? When that little boy or that little girl is following in your footsteps, believing that Daddy is the grandest man to walk on earth, do you think it's right to lose your soul when it may cause them to lose their soul also? And wives, do you have the right to lose your soul when son or daughter loves mother and respects her above all others on the face of the earth? And husbands and wives, do you have the right to lose your soul when you realize that the one you love more than anyone else on earth may follow in your steps? Those steps lead to destruction. What father or mother or husband or wife would argue that they had the right to harm themselves or to commit suicide when they know that it would influence and harm the lives of their loved ones? Friends, I want to tell you that you don't have the right to lose your soul when it becomes your responsibility to those you love. Your being lost may cost the soul of a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a father or a mother. But even further than that, it will cost heaven something if you are lost. First, it will mean that God's love was extended to you in vain. God will have lost His love. The Apostle says, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and verse 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, God loves you so much that He doesn't want you to be lost. But this does not mean that God wants you to be saved separate and apart from His will, for He would have you to come to a knowledge of the truth, and once coming to a knowledge of the truth, to follow Him in obedience. Paul also tells us about God's redemption in Romans 6, verse 17 and verse 18. There he says, but thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine or teaching whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. It's by learning the truth and obeying the truth that we can take advantage of God's love and God's grace toward us. But this plan of salvation came to us by a price from God. That price was His willingness to give His only begotten Son. You know the familiar golden text of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul speaks to those who have become children of God and tells His wondrous love that brought about their redemption. In Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In other words, God gave up His Son to a life of poverty. He gave up His Son to suffer the trials, the temptations of life, the shame and the suffering of the cross. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much God loves me, and that's the price that God paid that we might be saved from our sins. Loving parents will say to their children, how much do you love me? And the answer is usually an embrace and a hug around the neck, maybe a kiss on the cheek. If we ask, how much do you love us? No doubt the answer would be, the cross, that's how much I love you. And try to picture Christ as He prays in the garden, that cup of suffering might pass from Him. that suffering that he was going to endure as he hung on the cross, and try to feel the emotions of a loving father who gave and sent that son to endure all of that he might obtain our redemption. Paul said, "But God commendeth his love toward us, his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, verse 8. My friends, if you're lost, it will cost heaven God's love extended for you. Is it worth the price that you will make heaven pay? But not only will heaven pay with the love that God extended to you if you're lost, but it will also cost heaven the love manifested in the life and death of Jesus, the Son of God. Think of Christ as the Prince of Heaven, enjoying all the glory and all the blessings of the Father's house. And Paul tells us all things were created by him and for him. And yet he was willing to leave all of this to attain not riches, not power, not glory, not honor, but to feel the emotions of man, emotions of hunger, loneliness, pain, humiliation, and finally death. Christ, the Son of God, endured all this. And again, the great Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 5, down through verse 8, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross." It was by that death manifested the great love of Christ that we may be reconciled to God. Paul says in Romans 5, I'm reading verse 9 down through verse 11, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have not received the reconciliation." But just how great was this love that Christ extended to us? Let us for a moment turn our minds back and by faith walk with Christ in his last few hours before his death. Kneel with him as he prays so fervently that the cup of suffering might pass from him if it be the Father's will. And feel those drops of sweat fall from his brow as if they were drops of blood. Then stand and feel the loneliness spreading over Christ as he sees his apostles not being able to resist the temptation to sleep, no longer waiting and watching with him. Then feel the hated, moist betrayal kiss placed by Judas upon his brow. Walk with the Lord as he marches away from the garden of prayer. And look back with him and see the apostles all scattering. Hear the false witnesses brought against him, and listen as he hears the cursing of Peter as he denies that he even knew Jesus of Nazareth. And then feel the crown of thorns, the cut of the reed as they smite him, the nausea you see his body made wet with spittle. And then stand before Pontius Pilate with him and hear thousands cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Feel the weight of the cross as he tries to bear it alone. And finally, he staggers with fatigue and he falls. Feel the pain as the nails are driven through his hands and his feet. As the Roman soldiers lift the cross, feel the weight of his own body as it tears his flesh held by the nails. Feel the heat of the noonday sun and the loneliness as he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then hear him, though in anguish, call, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This love, friends, he gave. That's the price that he paid. And was that, it was all that you might be saved through obedience to the word. And friend, if you're lost, it will cost heaven the love of Christ given for you. Is it worth the price to be lost? And then third, more than even this, it will cost heaven the works of the Holy Spirit in confirming the words of the apostles that we might know the truth, and by our obedience to that truth be cleansed from our sins. In the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John, Christ foretells his death and leaving to the disciples, and the fact that he was going to leave the disciples, but he gives them the promise that he will send the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit might guide them unto all truth. He says, for example, in John 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me." And then verse 26 of the 14th chapter, "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you." And then again, verse 13 of chapter 16, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. He shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come." And friends, this is the promise made the apostles, not to every disciple, that the Holy Spirit will guide us individually into all the truth. For you see, the truth has been already given in the Word of God through the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, that Spirit came from the fourth verse of the second chapter of Acts and informs us, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The all there, the apostles. And through the ensuing years, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter sent from God, worked through Peter and Paul and James and Jude and John and Bartholomew, that he might, by that word of truth, guide them into all the truth, to the point that Jude could say in Jude 3, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." This was the work of the Holy Spirit, that you might have redemption from your sins, that you might enter into the pearly gates of that everlasting home. When you respond to the words in obedience to those words of the Holy Spirit, we read in Hebrews 5, verse 9, "And having been made perfect, he, Christ, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Now, this word which the Holy Spirit confirmed is given that we might know the truth, that we might be saved. And if you're lost, friend, the word of God will have been given in vain for you. And so I ask again, what will it cost heaven if I am lost? It will cost the love of God being shed in vain. It will cause the cross of Christ, Christ dying in vain. And it will cost the Holy Spirit having given his word to no purpose. Consider the cost. Pay the price. Be obedient to God's word so that heaven can be your home.